Good morning, everyone. I'm going to call to order this hearing of the Judiciary Finances Civil Law Committee. And today is April 16th. I hope everyone got their taxes in. And we do have a quorum present, even though we're missing. I think we have a quorum, don't we? Yes. Okay. A quorum is present. So I'm going to read the. Yeah. I'm just going to tell everybody to behave nicely in the room. We don't allow any outbursts, no clapping or other kinds of noises. And for safety reasons, do not sit or stand in the aisles. And if you need seating accommodations, which I don't think looks likely, please ask the Gold Ties for help. And if you have an entrance ticket, please keep it with you in case you need to re-enter the room. Our wonderful staff, state troopers and sergeant staff, are here to help ensure the safety of everyone. So with that, the first order of business is to approve the minutes from April 14th. Representative Feist.
I move the minutes.
All right, thank you. Is there any, Representative Feist moves approval of the minutes of April 14th, which are in member packets. Is there any discussion to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails, and the minutes are approved. Okay. So the first bill on the agenda is going to be House File 3874, and I am the author of that bill. So Vice Chair Finke is going to take the gavel, and I will go to the testifiers table.
Are you all set, Madam Chair?
Yeah, thank you, Chair, Vice Chair Finke. So I will move that House File 3874 be recommended to be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee.
Chair Liebling moves HF 3874 to Ways and Means. Madam Chair, please present your bill.
Thank you, Chair Finke. So just to recap, this is the Judiciary Budget Bill. We've had this bill before us, I think, a couple of times, kind of informationally. We've had testimony from the judiciary on it. And just as a reminder of what it contains, it is their budget request includes money for safety and security, including money for home safety for judges and administrative staff. And it includes some other safety type of items. It includes a $1 million fund for grants for courthouse safety. And it includes, I won't detail all of the security measures that the court is asking for. I think we've been through that. But this is basically the, and there's money in here in the request for paid family medical leave funding. Because the court, has that additional requirement, just like other employers do, and for whatever reason, which we will not repeat now, was missed when that allocation was made during the last budget cycle. So the court, as we all know, money is fungible. It can be used for different things, and so the courts are asking for a little bit of a bump to make up for that outlay that they are required to make. So that is the underlying bill. And if we could then move to my amendment, Chair Finke.
Yeah. Yes, if you'd like to move the A7 amendment and perhaps bring Mr. Walls into that conversation.
Oh, right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Chair Finke, I forgot that I did want to ask. So before I move that amendment, I wanted to ask Mr. Walls to just explain. There's a piece in here about a base adjustment, and I don't think we have actually discuss that, and just wanted to understand what that is, because it's reducing the base a little bit.
Mr. Walls?
Madam Chair, members, the base adjustment that the courts requested goes back to last session, where we appropriated some money to the courts, and there was, because of the targets, there was additional money in the out years in 27 and 20, or 28 and 29, than we had in 26 and 27. So we were able to add money to their bases with these base adjustments. And due to the overwhelming majority of FTEs or employees in the district courts, the conference committee prioritized giving money to the district courts. And so we made this decision, the legislature made this decision to give all this money, and the courts basically had the position that while they weren't in total disagreement with that, they could have used a little money, a little extra money at the Supreme Court and the appeals court. And so since this is all sort of an internal dialogue between them, they were asking that some of those tails be moved from the district courts to other courts within their system to more meet their budget needs. And so this is a budget neutral action that we're taking, and it's just allowing them to move some of their money within the system.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Walls, and thank you, Chair Finke, for letting me get that explained. That's very helpful.
So, to your amendment, A7.
Yes, so I would like to move the A7 amendment. And so the A7 amendment is my proposed adjustments to the judicial budget as it came to us from the judicial branch. I want to say, first of all, that we take the security needs of the judiciary very seriously. And we heard testimony in this committee about the threat that judges are under. And I think that is very serious. I mean, we know ourselves as elected officials that threats have increased, and of course we've seen some of the horrible consequences of that. But judges are every single day, especially in the district courts, they are seeing people who may be disgruntled for whatever reason, and somebody is often angry at them. And so, you know, the need for security is very real, and across the country we've even seen horrible cases of violence against judges. So this is an absolutely serious thing. That said, what this amendment is doing is it's paring back the security request to be more in line with what legislators are currently provided. And so when we had the detailing of this included in their request, as I said, were administrators. This backs out the funding for the administrator's security. Not because we don't think they have any security needs, but it just brings it more in line with the legislature. And it also, this funding left in with my amendment and with the adjustments I'm making, it still includes security personnel for the Supreme Court who can be used flexibly to meet some of the funding needs of the some of the security needs of the justices. But I do want to say that, we're cutting back, with this amendment, we're cutting back some of the funding that they would be getting just on the security piece. And I want to say that we, as a committee and as a legislature, we don't micromanage the courts. And I think most of us here understand that. The courts are the third branch of government. They are independent of us, even though we are in the position of funding them. And so when we give them some money for a general purpose, as we're doing here, at least my intention is that they can shift a little bit of that around for security needs should it come up. So, for example, if there's an administrator who is under particular threat, I am in no way saying in this amendment that person couldn't get security help with this pool of money. They certainly could, but that I'm leaving that to the discretion of the courts, not just providing blanket appropriation for every administrator of these 100 to get funded. So that's the amendment, Chair Finke, and I don't know if there would be any questions.
Any discussion to the amendment? Chair Scott.
Thank you, Chair Finke. I encourage members to vote yes on this amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, we will vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. There is another amendment, the A1. Representative Curran, would you like to explain your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'm offering the A1 amendment. This is in regards to guardian ad litem appropriations. And I had the good fortune to meet with a constituent just the other day during guardian ad litem day at the Capitol. And she was telling me about all the amazing work that they do, right, to protect our kids within the systems that we have. And the greatest need there is more funding. We're not able to offer them the funding that they need to get their wages up to be competitive wages and wages similar to folks doing similar work in other for other boards. But I will say that the $33,000 in 26 and 65 in fiscal year 27 is a little something that we can do for them as they're trying to do their work with very little. So I hope that members will support this amendment.
Any discussion to the amendment? Chair Scott.
Thank you, Chair Finke. I encourage a no vote.
Chair Liebling.
Thank you. I think we should have a roll call on this amendment.
A roll call being requested. The The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Liebling.
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Chair Scott. Scott, no. Vice Chair Finke.
Aye.
Finke, aye. Vice Chair Duran.
No.
Duran, no. Representative Bliss.
No.
Bliss, no. Representative Curran.
Aye.
Curran, aye. Representative Feist.
Aye.
Feist, aye. Representative Frazier.
Aye.
Frazier, aye. Representative Mahmoud.
Aye.
Mahmoud, aye. Representative Mueller.
Aye.
Mueller, aye. Representative Novotny. No. Novotny, no. Representative Rarick. No. Rarick, no. Representative Steer.
No.
Steer, no. Representative Ben Van Vinsbergen.
Nope.
Van Vinsbergen, no.
7-7. There being 7 ayes and 7 nays, the motion does not prevail. There is another amendment. It looks like Representative Bliss, the A2. Would you like to move your amendment?
Yes, I would, please.
Go for it.
So this is deleting the additional operating adjustment for the Paid Family Medical Leave Act. We've heard testimony in this committee that it's negligible. I may get this quote wrong, but it's similar to putting off buying a fancy pair of shoes until the next payday, something like that. But we ask our Minnesota businesses to suck it up and not to get an operating adjustment from the government on this. It's just another unfunded mandate. But because it's government, we need to take more money from already struggling taxpayers and subsidize the government. Now, I understand that the court does good work. I do. But we have a lot of businesses out there that do good work, too, that are expected to find this and absorb the costs. So I'm just asking the Minnesota government to do the same. This should be bipartisan. Again, it's negligible and just difference of buying a cheaper pair of shoes this week. So I don't see where this would be controversial. Thank you.
Discussion to the A2 amendment. Representative Feist.
Thank you. So I will say, like, in the context of my own business, that I have not noticed the huge burden that people are worried about when it comes to paid family medical leave, both in the additional nominal tax and in my operations. But I think that is besides the point in this context, because the judicial branch ensures that our constitutional rights are protected, and I think they ultimately matter more than my private business and other private business. They are an important third branch of government, and so I would encourage members to vote no.
Any further discussion? Yep. Oh. We'll come back. Representative Bliss.
No, I would please take other people's questions first, and then I'll respond.
Oh, Representative Bliss, your amendment.
Thank you. And just so our taxpaying Minnesotans know what this is, I believe it's $1.9 million this year and nearly $2 million in the tails next time. So it's not negligible. It's taking about $2 million a year out of our taxpayers' pockets to cover something that's an unfunded mandate to the rest of us. And I disagree that government matters more than our private businesses. They're just as important as the rest of us. Thank you.
Representative Mueller.
Thank you, Madam.
Mueller, excuse me.
You're fine. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just say, too, that the judicial branch, unlike businesses, they don't have a way to raise other revenue. I think that's an important point to, I don't know why that's funny, but I think that's an important distinction here. And I'm going to request a roll call. Thank you.
Roll call has been requested. Vice Chair Durant.
Thank you, Chair. From my understanding, it is that paid family medical leave is a payroll deduction, so it's only coming out of their paychecks. So I'm not understanding why we expect everybody else to have it come out of their paychecks and us not to hold the guests, the courts, to that same standard. I'm not sure how this works. We should be kind of going the same way, but can you explain a little bit more about that?
Yes, Chair Liebling.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question. And I appreciate that when you don't understand something, you ask. I think that's really important. So there's an employer and there's an employee portion. So there, I think, I'm quite sure that the judicial employees are paying their portion, just like everyone else. And this is the employer portion. So that's what the court is asking for. And Mr. Shorb is shaking his head. So, yeah.
Vice Chair Durant. Yep.
Thank you. And so we're expecting other private-owned businesses and everybody else to handle this stuff, but not the government, which, you know, we put this burden on. If this is a true burden to everybody, I think we need to reevaluate the situation. That if we're putting a burden on our own government to, I guess, in the future hurt themselves, then I guess maybe this program as a whole needs to be looked at, and maybe we should repeal the whole thing. I guess if it's putting a burden on some of the government agencies, then I guess I don't know what we're doing as a state here when we're asking our businesses to take care of it, but the government, no. So thank you very much.
Chair Scott.
Thank you, Chair Finke. I recommend a yes vote.
And we do have other members on the list.
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chair Liebling. Chair Frazier. Everybody's a chair here. It's easy.
Thank you. Thank you, Vice Chair Finke. I don't know. Maybe, and I've been in a lot of these conversations around paid leave. And I just want to make sure that we put on a record that we've heard testimony from and statements from various people that are benefiting from this now, that now they're able to take time off when they need to take care of themselves. They're able to take time off when a loved one maybe has now been diagnosed with cancer to help with those treatments, take care of a kid that is sick without worrying about losing their salary or their paycheck and being able to stay hold. I just want to make sure we don't lose the reason why this legislation went into effect. Those benefits have been critical. Those benefits are saving families, keeping them stabilized, and in many cases saving lives, because now there is a caretaker there that can care for those individuals. And I will know, and I don't like to do this political piece, but I will say this. When we were negotiating last year, there were concessions offered to my GOP colleagues, and they rejected all of those concessions but for one. The main priority was to remove people from health care. That was the one concession that they made a priority when we offered up concessions for paid family medical leave. So I don't understand this consistent movement toward removing a benefit that is saving lives and helping them stabilize communities. We offered up concessions, Representative Bliss. They were rejected. And the one sole thing that your party wanted was to kick people off of health care, which, by the way, is costing us more money as a state. It is costing us more money. Paid family medical leave in the long term is saving us money as a state by stabilizing families, stabilizing communities. The concessions that you took last year will cost us money long term. I just need that to be clear on the record.
Thank you, Chair Frazier. Chair Novotny is next on the list.
Thank you, Vice Chair Finke. I see Mr. Sharba from the courts is here. I was wondering if you could come up to the table and answer a quick question.
I'm Jeff Sharba. I'm the State Court Administrator for the branch.
Thank you. Mr. Sharba, you're the only one I recognize over there that I could call, but I know you'll have the answer. I assume that a full-time employee of the court system has a fairly generous benefit program, including, I don't know how you do it, as vacation and sick time or just standard PTO, but is every full-time employee of the court system eligible for a benefit program prior to the paid family medical leave?
Madam Chair, Representative Novotny, we follow the benefit program that is put out by MMB, so we're part of that with in terms of health care coverage, pension, those kinds of things. So just like every other government employee, Chair including Novotny. Sick and vacation.
Yes. Excuse me, Chair Novotny.
Thank you, Vice Chair Finke. That's all I need. Thank
you. Yep, thank you.
So from Mr. Sharba, and I'll just comment quickly.
Sure.
We just heard. Everything, I'm actually talking about the bill 3847 here and the amendment as opposed to the larger picture that Representative Frazier's talking about. These are state employees. One of the reasons people are attractive to jobs working for the courts and being state employees is a fairly generous benefits package. So I don't think this would have anywhere near the effect that Representative Frazier is talking about. That's my comment. Thank you, Chair.
Representative Van Vinsbergen.
Thank you, Vice Chair. So this $1.9 million new investment of hardworking taxpayers' money, is that going to be an annual event? And is that going to continue to increase?
Are you asking Chair Liebling?
Yes.
Chair Liebling?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I think anything that is a cost of employment is going to be ongoing, I assume. I mean, maybe Mr. Walls could answer that better than I could. It does have tails, and that means it's an ongoing cost. It's a pool of money we would be giving the courts to help with their employment costs. Mr. Walls, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Madam Chair, members, just sort of back of the napkin, I think the request is for roughly 640,000 the first year and about 640,000 in 27, and beginning in 28, it would be about $1,043,000 per year after that. Yes, that's all three courts.
Representative Van Vinsbergen.
So that will just be a continued event for as long as
we have a judiciary, yes.
It's never going to end. Well, I take some offense to some of the comments on the other side today about private business not being important. Private business is paying the bill for the judiciary in this state, and they're the real people in charge. And you know, I represent a lot of folks that don't have fancy retirement and insurance packages. They are living paycheck to paycheck, day by day. They're running small businesses. They're fighting hard, and so we're supposed to just come in here and say, hey, it's another $1 million, and we'll just do that as long as the judiciary is around. I support Representative Bliss's amendment.
We're going to go to Representative Feist, and then we will go back to the Chair Liebling.
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify. So I'm a business owner. I founded my law firm almost 16 years ago. I've grown it over that time. I've profited over that time. I'm really proud of that. I've worked in immigration law for over 25 years now, and switching over to running my own business was really invigorating and kind of like re-energized me for the work that I do. So I love being a business owner, and it's been really good for me. And I now have 10 employees. I'm hiring a couple new people now, if anyone knows, anyone who's interested. So, you know, I benefit from and appreciate the importance of business in our state and our community from my own personal experience. What I was saying is that the judicial branch is a branch of government, and they have a very important role in ensuring that, like, our system of government can continue and that we have constitutional rights, like due process. So I think we serve different functions, and I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you, Representative Feist. I will just add that, yeah, it is the responsibility of the government to fund the government. We have three branches of government. Two branches of the government got this money last year in a bipartisan way. This year, the judiciary needs it. They are still a part of government, and that is our responsibility. Chair Liebling, final comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for the discussion. So I kind of regret that this discussion is really, from my point of view, a little bit off the rails for this committee, because we're not here to discuss the benefits or costs of paid family medical leave. That's not before the jurisdiction of this committee, and it's not before us today. The courts didn't weigh in on that. They're not here to say this is a good thing or not a good thing. They are neutral on this question, and it is our job as a committee to fund them or not fund them. This is a cost that they have come to tell us they are bearing. Whether we like it or not, they are. And if you don't like it, file a bill and, you know, take the appropriate actions to change it. That's all of our rights as members of the legislature. But this is not the place to do that. They are not here to say that they love the program or don't love the program. They're here to say that they have costs that have to be paid. And if they have to pay costs, whether they like it or not, it pulls away funding from other personnel. And we, my first term as a chair of this committee, so I haven't had to deal with the court's budget before, but in last year, I would venture to say that we underfunded the judiciary. I mean, we gave all of our agencies we tried to be as fair as we could, Co-Chair Scott and I, but we had a very small target, and we had to spread it very thin. And that means that employees of the judicial branch are, you know, they are underfunded. And when we don't, for whatever we call the funding, for whatever reason the court is asking for the funding, this is money, and it gets spread across, you know, their obligations to employees. Now, I do want to respond a little bit to the issue about businesses, because I think it's really important to understand that businesses receive a lot of the benefit of having a strong judiciary. You would have a really hard time having a business if you had nowhere to go, say, when a customer doesn't pay their bill, or somebody commits a tort against your business. You know, somebody does something in your business. I mean, there are business contracts, business disputes. I don't know if Mr. Shorba would know. I don't want to call him up to ask him. But, you know, a large amount of the court's work is work for businesses. So this helps everybody. And having a strong judiciary is important to our democracy besides that. If we don't have, you know, we all learn in civics class, we've got three branches of government. Our democracy depends upon a balance between them, and the judiciary does not raise its own money. It doesn't. So either it gets funding from us, understanding that it's an independent branch, or it doesn't. And if you want to say, oh, we don't like what the legislature did, therefore we're going to punish the judiciary, I think that's really very unfortunate. So let's take the discussion about whether paid family leave is a good thing or a bad thing somewhere else. It has no relevancy today to whether we should fund this request of theirs. They have to pay this. Money is money. If they don't get, they're not going to stop providing paid family medical leave to their employees if we don't fund this. They still have to do it. So they're going to have to find the money somewhere. And it's going to mean that they can fund less of something else. So if we want to have a strong judiciary, if we want to have a strong democracy, I think we have to fund the reasonable requests of the judiciary. And you know, suck it up and do that. That's what I would ask members to do. So I strongly encourage a no vote on this amendment.
Clerk will take the roll.
Chair Liebling.
No.
Liebling, no. Chair Scott.
Aye.
Scott, aye. Vice Chair Finke.
No.
Finke, no. Vice Chair Duran.
Yes.
Duran, yes. Representative Bliss.
Yes.
Aye. Representative Curran.
No.
Curran, no. Representative Feist.
No.
Feist, no. Representative Frazier.
No.
Frazier, no. Representative Mahmoud.
No.
Mahmoud, no. Representative Moeller.
No.
Moeller, no. Representative Novotny. Novotny, aye. Representative Rarick. Rarick, aye. Representative Steer.
Yes.
Steer, aye. Representative Van Binsbergen.
Yes.
Ben Binsbergen, aye.
There being seven ayes and seven nays, the motion does not prevail. There is an amendment. Chair Scott, would you like to introduce your amendment?
Chair Finke, is that the A4 or the A5?
A4.
A4, okay, thank you. Members, the A4 is, let me back up. The courts ask for $1 million for a grant program that they've been using for years to allow courthouses across the state to apply for security grants, and that's for the hardware, for the to better fortify their buildings. And so the courts testified that they're asking for the million, but there were 3 million in unmet requests last time they offered this grant. And so what we're doing here is increasing that from 1 million to 4 million with this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Scott. Any discussion to the amendment? Chair Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I wonder if Mr. Shorba, I know you weren't expecting this, but I wonder if you could come up for a moment and just answer a question about this, since we haven't had any discussion about this particular piece before.
Mr. Shorba, introduce yourself. For the record,
Jeff Shorba, State Court Administrator for the branch.
Go ahead.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Shorba, I don't think you requested this, but I just wanted to, you know, give you an opportunity to, you know, I assume you don't want to turn down funding, but, but you know, I just wanted to see if you had anything you wanted to say about this request. I mean, I have to say I'm inclined to go along with Co-Chair Scott and put this in the bill, but I just wanted to give you an opportunity if you choose to use it.
I appreciate
that. Mr. Shorba.
Chair Finke, Chair Liebling. Anytime we can give grant money out for courthouse safety and those costs are going up, I think it's a good thing. We did, as Chair Scott said, have more applications for funding than we had the last time. We've done this three times. Twice we offered $500,000. For the pool, and once a million, so we thought we would ask for a million. I think there is increased demand, as I testified earlier, as threats and other things are going up at courthouses. This is only one-time money, though, so it won't pay for personnel or more security guards. It'll pay for weapon screening equipment at places that don't have it, but it won't pay for the staff to man it, so that would have to be a county cost. But I am not going to oppose the increase to 4 million. I think there'll be an appetite, and I can tell you we're going to have, like we did in the past, a committee to look at every application. It'll include sheriff's people, police, county people, and I can pledge to the committee, if we can't spend $4 million, we will not spend $4 million, no matter what the number is. So,
thank Thank you, Mr. Schwarber. Representative Liebling.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Yeah, so I would recommend a yes vote on this.
Representative Curran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to mention, given the conversation of spending money that the court or that the judicial branch asked for was just denied based on current needs that they have based on current law in the state of Minnesota. And now we're deciding whether we give $3 million more dollars, which is more than what the ask was to shore them up on fulfilling current law. That came out of nowhere. And I just want to say that it's very possible to vote yes for money that you're not sure if it's needed or not, or you might not be sure if you agree with the reason behind it. I think we should be giving the courts more money. I think we should have done it on the you know, we should be giving them not only the money that they ask for, and of course, if they are going to ask for more, we should do that. This isn't political for me. I'll vote yes.
Chair Scott.
Thank you, Chair Finke, and thank you for those comments. Rep. Curran, this is one-time money that doesn't go into the tails, and trying to be fiscally responsible, and so that's one of the reasons that we raised it, and with knowing that there were unmet needs from the previous biennium, and we've talked an awful lot about security around this place, and so we want to make sure that, you know, courthouses and outstate have their needs met. And this, I just want to also add that these local courthouses, county courthouses and so forth, they have to have a match. It's a 50-50 match on this money. So I just wanted to give you a clear picture, maybe reminders of why I'm doing this. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Amendment is adopted. We have one more amendment, Chair Scott, to your A5.
Thank you, Chair Finke. And I'm just wondering if Mr. Johnson could run through the amendment and cover all that it does so that I don't leave anything out.
Mr. Johnson.
Chairs and members, the A5 amendment, the first thing it does is it deletes section 1. I will note that that is also included in the A7 amendment that was already adopted by this committee. It reduces the appropriation that's on page 4 at line 14. That's the appropriation for the safety and security under the Supreme Court appropriations to $312,000. Again, the A7 amendment contained a similar reduction. This is slightly lower. The A7 contained it would have reduced that number to $394,000. This reduces it to $312,000. On page 4, line 15, there's a slight change in purpose for this money. It specifies that the money is for increased staffing of the judicial security unit. It also reduces the base appropriation down to that $312,000. The change on line 1.8 of the amendment is a technical change. Since there were two subdivisions within this particular section and the next amendment deletes one of the subdivisions, this just removes the header that says subdivision 1. So at 1.9 of the bill, it would delete page 4, lines 28 to 30, and that's the safety and security appropriation for the Court of Appeals. Similarly, there are changes in section 7 that removes that header that says subdivision 1 and then removes the safety and security appropriation to the district courts. That's the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Chair Finke. And one of the things that I thought was an important thing to do is the courts were asking for two judicial employees for the judicial security unit. This would be the equivalent to our Lori Hodapp and those folks. And so that's what the $312,000 is funding, is two of those individuals to coordinate safety for the courts.
Discussion to the amendment? Chair Mueller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm confused, Chair Scott, if you could explain the deletions at line 4.28 to 4.30 and 5.7 to 5.9. Is it your intention to eliminate the safety and security funding for district court and court of appeals and just have it for Supreme Court?
Chair Scott? Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair Finke. What this is doing is deleting the home security provision for the courts and also the data, what do you call that? It's kind of like delete me or something like that. So it's just, it's paring down that, those two things.
Chair Mueller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So then it's, you're deleting that for all Supreme Court, Court of Appeals, and District Court. And I just have to say I am troubled by that. You know, the idea here is to give this security that these judges need. And, you know, we have that security ourselves as legislators. I think it's really important to have that home security in light of what happened on June 14th and the examples given about other judges around the country being targeted at their homes, being shot at their homes. So I would just hope that we can revisit that. Thank you.
Go ahead, Chair Scott.
Thank you, Chair Finke, and thank you for those questions, Chair Mueller. If you will remember the last 2 years, the courts have been here. They have had the, they convinced the legislature that their homes should no longer be part of public record. So their homes are no longer part of public record. That was one of the reasons that I didn't feel like the delete me or whatever you want to call that sort of service was should be a priority, because they're already getting their home addresses and any other real property that they own deleted from the public record. The other issue on the home security, the lowest paying judge in the state of Minnesota makes $190,000. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the majority of judges probably already have a home security system. And if they don't, they can do like we did and take it out. We can take money out of our campaign funds to pay for that. And so I think that is the reason I made those decisions the way I did. Thank you.
Representative Curran.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, the conversation about judges perhaps having their own security systems, I think that's valid. I think a lot of us probably have had security systems in the past. There's no reason that we wouldn't have access to something to have that security or upgrade that security. I would assume that for folks that don't have that security, then that allows them to do that. But I was troubled as Chair Mueller here, because these are really, really crucial protections for our judicial system. I'm not sure why we would be looking to take money out of security that we all know is so desperately needed. I'll ask for a roll call on this, and just also note that there's a lot of judges out there who aren't elected, a lot of judges who aren't elected. And the doxing continues to happen when people are unhappy with any sort of ruling, whether it's an administrative hearing, a district court, or the Supreme Court. They all face these same exact threats. People don't give two hoots about what court a judge works for. They care about how it impacts their life, and some people will go off the rails. And that's what this funding is meant to protect. So I would oppose this amendment. Thank you.
Roll call has been requested. Yeah. Chair Liebling.
Yeah, thank you. And I would request a no vote on this amendment. I do think that, you know, we can quibble about, you know, who needs it, who doesn't need it. And, you know, we are giving with this, if we pass the bill as is currently, we would be giving money to the courts that they could somewhat move around within the security bucket, I believe, is how this would work. So if somebody already has a system, the courts, this doesn't wouldn't be saying, oh, well, they must be given another one. This would, so that they could use this a little bit flexibly. But it does trouble me, the if we were to adopt this, the message it sends to the courts, the message it sends to judges. Judges are under threat. This is, you know, we are trying to continue to attract good candidates to our judiciary. And I think they need to know that the legislature sees and is concerned about the personal threats to them. So it's, to me, it's even more the symbolism of this than the actual money aspect of it. I just think it's very troubling to just say, well, you've asked for this, you think it's necessary, but we don't, we're not giving it to you. I just don't feel comfortable with that. And, you know, I too have wrestled with the idea that judges do make, you know, fairly good salary. I think for some of them, going on the judiciary is a big step up in salary from what they did before if they were a public defender or a prosecutor. But for others, it might be a big step down if they were in a big law firm somewhere. But regardless of where they came from, it is true public service to be a judge. And, you know, I sometimes look at the judiciary and I just think, thank God we have people who are willing to do this, especially in this threat environment. So to send them a signal that we are going to not provide any of the personal security that they've asked for, to me, is just really wrong. And I hope that we don't do that. So I'm just going to ask again for a no vote on the amendment.
Chair Scott, closing comments?
Thank you, Chair Finke. And yeah, I mean, I outlined for you why. The last 2 years, the courts came to us and asked to have their personal property records erased. That wasn't cheap. We passed that into law. Their personal property records, if they haven't been, will be erased, and there's a penalty for that not happening. So, and again, if you make $190,000 a year, and that's just the lowest paid district court judge, I think you can afford $1,000 worth of equipment and $100 a month for home monitoring. We are in a structural deficit in this state, and so every dollar counts. And I feel like keeping this language in there would double up on some of those protections. And so I think it's more efficient to do it this way. We are giving them some of what they ask for here. We're giving them two FTEs for this judicial security unit. And hopefully things will turn around in the next few years financially in this state. So, and again, I encourage a yes vote on the amendment.
The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Liebling.
No.
Liebling, no. Chair Scott. Scott, aye. Vice Chair Finke.
No.
Finke, no. Vice Chair Duran.
Yes.
Duran, aye. Representative Bliss.
Yes.
Bliss, aye. Representative Curran.
No.
Curran, no. Representative Feist.
No.
Feist, no. Representative Frazier.
No.
Frazier, no. Representative Mahmoud.
No.
Mahmoud, no. Representative Novotny. Mueller,
sorry. No.
Mueller, no. Representative Novotny. Novotny, aye. Representative Rarick. Representative Rarick, aye. Representative Steer.
Yes.
Steer, aye. Representative Van Binsbergen.
Yes.
Van Binsbergen, aye.
There be 7 ayes and 7 nays. The amendment is not adopted. We will now move to member discussion on the bill as amended. Is there any discussion to the bill? Chair Scott.
Thank you, Chair Finke. I also want to, in addition to speaking to the bill here in the past amendment, I think it's important to remember that there are other security measures traveling in other bills that will affect the judiciary as well. So I would request a roll call on the final bill, and I would request a no vote.
Roll call has been requested. Is there any other discussion? Chair Liebling, closing comments on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for the good discussion, and thank you to the judiciary for being good partners in helping us move through this process. And I think it's, you know, hearing what Chair Scott says about there is another bill moving. Of course, around this place, we never know what's going to happen to any bill and whether it, how far it's going to go. And this year in particular, I think that's true. So I think it's important to move this bill regardless. And again, you know, I think it's certainly in the security part of this bill, I think is a really important message to be sending. We are the Judiciary Committee. And if we don't believe that we need to extend help with security needs to the courts that are under such threat right now, then I don't know who does. So I think that's really important. The bill now contains also the additional funding for the security, what are we calling that, the courthouse fund. So that is in this bill. I don't think that's going to be, I don't know if that'll be in another bill that might be traveling. So I think this is a really important bill. I think it still is very, you know, both practically, because the courts do need funding. They are underfunded. I've heard from people who work for the courts who are, you know, these are not high-earning folks. These are people who are absolutely necessary to the functioning of the judiciary. Their salaries are really quite low. And this is important that we keep our courts strong. So I strongly encourage a yes vote on this bill. Thank you, members.
Chair Liebling renews her motion that HF 3874 as amended be referred to Ways and Means. The clerk will take the roll.
Chair Liebling.
Aye.
Liebling, aye. Chair Scott.
No.
Scott, no. Vice Chair Finke.
Aye.
Finke, aye. Vice Chair Duran.
No.
Duran, no. Representative Bliss.
No.
Bliss, no. Representative Curran.
Aye.
Curran, aye. Representative Feist.
Aye.
Feist, aye. Representative Frazier.
Yes.
Frazier, aye. Representative Mahmoud.
Aye.
Mahmoud, aye. Representative Mueller.
Aye.
Mueller, aye. Representative Novotny. Novotny, no. Representative Rarick. Rarick, no. Representative Steer.
No.
Steer, no. Representative Van Binsbergen.
No.
Van Binsbergen, no.
There being seven ayes and seven nays, the motion does not prevail and the bill does not advance. And I'll turn it back over to Chair Liebling.
Next bill on the calendar is House File 962, Chair Novotny, and let's see here. All right, and Chair Novotny's motion, I think, is that the bill, as amended, be referred to Ways and Means. Is that right?
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay. So, we have discussed this bill before. There is a DE4 amendment that we adopted previously, so the version of the bill we're working off of is the DE4 amendment. So go ahead, Chair Novotny.
Well, we are still on the DE4, Madam Chair, and there have been no changes, and we are not proposing an amendment to the DE4. What we are here to report is that earlier this week, we had gotten the fiscal note that came out. We met with some of the members of the courts and how they did their analysis and found out that they might not have been working off the correct DE4 amendment. So we requested a revised fiscal note from them. That has not been prepared yet, but I'm told that it's fairly soon coming, but we do have some people here. I would like to point out that we do have a fairly extensive package of people that are in support of this, including one that came in late last evening from the Hennepin County Attorney's Office. And that's a pretty, the Hennepin County Attorney's Office was one of the focus. They're one of the highest, well, they're the highest user of the Brady Giglio procedures. And they are speaking in favor of this, saying that the bill will, the legislative liaison and senior assistant attorney in Hennepin County estimates that this will result in a 99% reduction of court involvement. With that, I also have testifiers, Nancy Haas, who has been quarterbacking this bill with several of the stakeholders and coordinating that, and Judge Small.
Okay, so we have some testifiers. So go ahead, whoever wants to start, and please introduce yourself and go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Nancy Haas with Poole Haas here on behalf of the Minnesota County Attorneys Association. Since we were here last 3 weeks ago and this delete all amendment was presented, it was really the work of all of the law enforcement groups and the prosecutors. And since that time, we have had extensive outreach with all the other stakeholders. So I'm just going to name them with MAPE, AFSCME, the Board of Public Defense, the League of Minnesota Cities, and the criminal defense attorneys. And at this time and through that work, there are no additional amendments currently requested. Although I would say with something this complex, the way we've always worked is if people bring things forward, we're always willing to consider new amendments. I wish I would have spent the last 3 weeks trying to find $3 million. I will say related to the fiscal note, as mentioned, we have been in some productive conversations to talk about the intent of the bill with the branch and to have more conversations just about if there are amendments that could be made in addition to kind of streamline the fiscal note.
Okay. Judge Small, did you want to?
I think both Representative Novotny and Ms. Haas have covered what I was going to say. They stole my thunder, so I have no thunder to share. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We've had enough thunder in here already. Representative Van Binsbergen, did you wish to be called on? Oh. Okay. All right. So wait, I'm a little bit ahead of myself. So I know Representative Moeller wants to be on the list. And so I don't know. Let me just ask if there's anybody else in the room who is here to testify on this bill. Okay. Not seeing anybody. And so we can have some discussion on this. I'm a little bit wondering whether I don't want to put the courts in the spot, and I think Mr. Shorba left, but whether the courts have anything that they want to say about the fiscal note or no. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, okay. Chair Moeller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Novotny, for this bill. And I just want to say thank you especially to the work of MCAA to reach out to all of those groups. That was something that had we had been wondering about in the past. There were a whole list of groups that we wanted to make sure were engaged or at least knew about this, and we're not seeing any letters of opposition from any of those groups. I've not heard any testimony now in opposition from those groups, and so just wanted to say thank you for doing that work.
Representative Finke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to add, I appreciate all the stakeholder engagement that I know that you have all done. I appreciate the intent to continue to work towards perhaps some amendments. I know some of the stakeholders that I've talked to are not quite there. And there's still some pretty open questions about the fiscal notes, and I wish that we had some more voices in the room today. And so I'm not ready to vote for the bill, but I'm not coming after it. I just think that I have some concerns about it, and I know that we can keep working on it. So that's where I'm at.
Other discussion? Chair Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is sort of a serious, not serious comment, but I listened to this awesome podcast called Prosecutors. And I'm going back and listening to some of the earlier episodes, and about episode 25, 26 in there, there's a case. And they cover this Brady Giglio, and they cover rules of evidence, and it's really quite fascinating. this is an important piece of legislation that we're working on here, because that's an important, those are combined two court cases, Supreme Court cases that this is addressing. And so I just want to put a plug in for that, that prosecutor's podcast. It's really awesome. And not just because of its entertainment value, but because of what I learn on there. And so it tied right into this. So everybody go listen to that.
Okay, other discussion. Okay, well, I would like to make a comment on this. You know, I appreciate the work that's been done on this. I think it's a serious issue that needs to be resolved, obviously, and one that's not easy to resolve. And, you know, I feel a little bit torn about this because of the fiscal note and because we just voted down the judiciary's request for funding. And now we're being asked to pass out of this committee a bill that, as far as we know, puts a significant cost on the judiciary without knowing if it's going to be funded. So although I kind of came in today thinking I was going to support this, I think I can't, because I don't want to put a burden on the judiciary, a financial burden, that with no, I don't know if this goes to Ways and Means, if Ways and Means finds a way to fund it, if it travels, you know, in the current situation we're in where we have no budget targets, I don't know how this ends up. So I think today I'm not going to support this. I would ask members not to support it, because I don't think we should be moving this on with a fiscal note that is not resolved, that because this is a, because these costs are to the judiciary. And that's my concern. And if I'm mistaken on that, somebody please correct me. But so, Chair Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to draw everyone's attention to the Hennepin County Attorney's Office letter. And they're saying House File 962 would eliminate the need for the Hennepin County Attorney's Office to file these motions and would therefore also eliminate the judge time required to address these motions. And they go back on the back page in that middle paragraph, and it says if House File 962 becomes law, it would result in a 99% reduction in court involvement in the Hennepin County Attorney's Office's Brady Giglio review procedure. At a minimum, Madam Chair, I would ask that the bill be laid over, but I think that we're going to find when that fiscal note is revised, I think we're going to find that there's little to no cost for the courts with the language as it currently is.
Judge Small, did you want to say something?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, Chair Scott. I really appreciate Chair Scott's comments. We had very helpful discussions with the courts yesterday. They had some suggestions on some amendments that Ms. Haas talked about that we are considering as well. And here's the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is this bill reduces court involvement. Without this bill, what Hennepin County was talking about, 1,075 or whatever number of cases, the court is still going to have to do that. With this bill, they won't have to be doing that. And so we really look forward to an amended fiscal note. But I do think what Chair Scott said has a lot of helpful information. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Frazier.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. As the sitting co-chair of Ways and Means, I thought I might want to chime in. Yeah, it could be doomed if we don't find, if that number stays at $3 million when it gets to Ways and Means. I will be honest about that, as we're watching every penny, every cent, every dollar. But I do understand the importance of this legislation. I understand the time that's been put in. I think this is an issue that I've been part of conversations on since I've got to the legislature. I understand the importance of it being so our criminal justice system, the importance of making sure that people get a fair shot when these cases are going through. I understand that truly. So I will support the bill because it will come to my committee, and then we'll continue to work on it. I would love to get those amendments that the courts have suggested to look at maybe lessening the fiscal note, as well as the concerns that are raised by other members that Rep. Finke raised. I'll be looking into those things as well as it moves along.
Thank you.
Other discussion? Okay. So, Representative Curran.
Thank you, Chair. And just a quick question. I'm curious if Chair Nesca and Rules has given a waiver on this.
Maybe that's a question for the author, Chair Novotny.
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah, Chair Novotny, I was curious if Chair Nesca had waived on the rule committee for deadlines on this.
Representative Novotny.
That's not a question that has been asked. So I would have to get that answer.
Yeah. Thanks. And I don't know if, I don't know, maybe staff could help with this, but I'm not really sure if, I mean, we have co-chairs in rules, and our house rules would send the bill to rules before it could go to ways. I don't know if the chairs can waive that stop. So, because we are after deadlines. Oh, no, I'm sorry. We're not. This is an issue, though, because this is not a major finance bill, and the third deadline is for major finance bills. So if we tack this bill onto the bill that just got voted down and sent it out, it would be meeting deadline, but I don't think by itself it is meeting deadline. I don't know. Mr. Johnson, do you want to opine on that?
Madam Chair, members, that's correct. The second deadline was for all bills that were not the major spending, major finance bills, to be out of their committee and referred to Ways, Taxes, or the General Register. Since this is not the committee's major spending bill, it would, by its joint rule, it would get referred to the Rules Committee, and then the Rules Committee would have to decide whether or not to give it a waiver and send it on to Ways and Means.
Thank you. So. Yeah, so I don't think it's the chairs of, so it would go to rules, and the chairs of rules, I don't think, have the authority to waive it. It goes to rules, and then the committee, the rules committee, has to act on it in some way. So it does have other stops. So, I mean, I think we have some options here. One would be to lay it over and wait. I mean, I appreciate that people are saying that the fiscal note isn't going to be what it seems to be, but it is a fiscal note. It is the official word. I haven't heard the courts say that it isn't what it appears to be. So it's great that practitioners, other people are saying that, but the writer of the fiscal note has not said that. It does have some other places to go. I mean, one option is, to lay it over, as Chair Scott mentioned. I don't know if you were really recommending that. I frankly don't think, around here, if people want something to happen, it can happen. And I don't know why we couldn't, even though this is supposed to be, this is our last official meeting before the third deadline, we can always have a quick meeting to move a bill when we get a fiscal note. I really, as I said, what gives me pause is sending out of this committee a bill that, on its face right now, because of the fiscal note, puts a significant burden on the courts when we just voted down their budget bill. It just seems really inconsistent to me. So I, I really appreciate the bill and the effort and the fact that it seems like it will solve some real problems for folks and be good for people. And personally wouldn't support it moving out of this committee with the fiscal note as it is, notwithstanding that, yes, if it does move out, I guess I wouldn't, I'm not going to, wring my hands over it, because I do understand it has other stops, and certainly would have real big concerns on the floor if this ever came to the floor and we hadn't resolved this. So I think everybody knows that. It would be really hard to pass. So I think, was someone else want to speak? Representative Bliss.
Thank you. I just request a roll call.
Okay. Okay, so roll call having been requested, so we will have a roll call. And I think, is there any other discussion to the bill? Chair Moeller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I think we're wondering what the motion is. If, because it's not a major finance bill and didn't meet deadline, do we need to move it to rules? Or we, if we move it to, I'm seeing a lot of heads shaking no. So if we say we're moving it to ways, it'll still have to go through rules.
Right. My understanding is the motion is the same. The motion is to move it to ways and means by operation of rules. Of the rule, it goes to the rules committee. Right. So, okay. So Chair Novotny renews the motion that House File 962, as amended by the DE4, be referred to ways and means.
Could I make closing comments?
Oh, Chair? Yes, I'm sorry, Chair Novotny. Go ahead.
Thank you. A couple of things that have occurred to me that, as I've been listening, as I told a group this morning I was speaking to, this is a bill that has a huge group of stakeholders, all who are very headstrong and between the cops and the lawyers and the judges, everyone's got an opinion. No one is 100% happy. It's not a perfect bill. Everyone has had to make a compromise to come together. So I think that makes it a potentially great bill because nobody's happy and everybody's given in, and I appreciate that work. Representative Finke, you were talking about there are some groups that oppose it, and that made me think. I had the letter that was in, I don't know if it's in this packet, but I know the ACLU submitted a letter to the packet on Tuesday or whatever the meeting was that we were here earlier. And they come out and say that they have questions and concerns, but in their third paragraph or fourth paragraph, I highlighted several things in that letter that I'm like, well, to me, that sounds like they support it. Let me quote some of the things they say, that the process, and I'm paraphrasing, but the process that they have right now leads to problems ranging from constitutional violations to excessive cost and administrative delays. The current system unduly burdens criminal defendants by, one, delaying criminal penalties, often while the defendant is incarcerated, while the prosecution sorts out through internal disputes. It also increases the cost to defendants and public defenders' offices to seek additional disclosures. And it goes on. There's multiple points. So to me, the ACLU letter is every reason why we need this. Even if they're not exactly happy with all provisions of it, I would say that even the ACLU would count in that group of people that are not exactly happy. But the points that they were making are why we need this and why it needs to move forward. The last thing I would like to say is, Chair Liebling, even you said, you know, you're not happy with it going to Ways and Means because there's a cost to it and they might have to work through it. That's what Ways and Means is for. They'll decide if it's a cost that they're willing to bear. And just before we go to a vote, and if it's not too much to ask, I was just wondering, Mr. Walls says we've been looking for this note to come in. Would it be possible to ask Mr. Walls if the fiscal note has been amended yet?
Mr. Walls.
Madam Chair, members, it would take me a second to look it up. However, I did have a conversation with the courts before the hearing today, and they told me there would not be any data entered today.
There would not be what?
There would not be data entered into the system today.
Thank you. But as I said, Chair Liebling, you know, this will have a couple more stops to go before it even gets to the floor. If there's additional things to do, we can do that. But I think all parties agree that the way it currently is does not work, and it is entirely burdensome and needs to be fixed.
So thank you for that, Chair Novotny. You know, as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm thinking about what I often tell this committee, which is that voting for a bill doesn't mean that you're for it. It just means you're willing to move it along. So I think I'm going to change my position based on that, on my own advice that I often give everybody here. And I will vote to move it along. But I do want to say that I remain very concerned about not putting additional burdens, unfunded burdens on the courts when We were unable to provide any of the security funding here today that they asked for, and any of the additional personnel costs that they asked for. I mean, this is really a serious thing. And so I'm willing to move it along today, but if, you know, this will maybe not be the end of the story if, you know, if we can't do this without, if we're going to put a mandate on the court. So thank you. Thank you for your presentation. Thank you to the testifiers. You know, thank you for your work on this. And we've got had a lot of people who have participated. Appreciate that. Representative Bliss?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll withdraw the roll call.
Okay. Well, the roll call having been withdrawn. So the motion being renewed by Chair Novotny. Let's see, where's that here? Got to get the language right. Chair Novotny renews the motion that House File 962, as amended by the DE4, be re-referred to Ways and Means. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
The motion prevails, and the bill is on its way. Thank you, everyone. So this, as you know, it is not even, we did this all pretty quick. We're done. But so let's just take a couple of minutes. This is the end of our regularly scheduled hearings of the Judiciary Committee for this session. And so, you know, before we adjourn, I just want to thank a lot of folks who make this possible for us. Capitol Security, the State Patrol, the Sergeant's Office, and the Gold Ties, who are here with us every day. We really appreciate them, and we've felt a lot of change in that this session. Really appreciate it. House Information Services and the media team, who broadcast everything for the public. Of course, our nonpartisan research and fiscal staff, who are just so highly talented in this committee. Ben Johnson, Mary Davis, Nathan Hopkins, and John Walls. We have our committee pages, who do a ton of work behind the scenes. We had Jenny, I don't know if it's Malia, if I'm pronouncing. Milia, thank you. And Eric Oberstar, thank you for all your work. And then we have the partisan committee staff, who, they have all worked together so very well and effectively this over these 2 years. Right, Chair Scott, and I'll just mention their names. Kaylin Scourbees, is that how you say her name? Krista Niedernhofer, who's sitting at the table today. Aaron Bursey, Zach Meinertz, Marissa Mantifel. Tell me how you pronounce it. I should know this. Mantifel. Very good. And Josh Sandy. Thank you, everybody. And of course, I want to again express my appreciation to Co-Chair Scott, who is really, even though we sometimes vehemently disagree, clearly we do, we actually work together very, very well. And I really appreciate her expertise and her partnership. And I think that generally speaking, most of the time, we get a good product out of that. Thank you. Chair Scott?
I just want to ditto everything that Chair Liebling said, and so thankful for all of our staff from out in the hallways to in here and behind the scenes, and to our partisan and nonpartisan staff who just do a great job. And thank you to all the members. I think we've had some really good discussions. Hopefully we've all learned some things along the way. And I just want to say that it's been really a good experience to work with Chair Liebling. I think we have some commonalities, and of course we do have differences, and so but we're able to just realize that. I think we're the gals that have been around here a while, you know, and so we understand the realities of what the current situation is, and so and just hopefully she feels the same. We've just done a good job working together through all of that, and thank you to again to our staff. Just so thankful for them and for each of you.
All right. And so with that, if there is no other discussion, the committee, thank you all very much. Well, Chris, we didn't thank the members.
I did.
Oh, you did. You did. Okay. And I do want to thank the members on both sides. I think this has been a great committee. All your participation has really been wonderful. I think we have learned a lot together. And I think this is the best committee.
Well,
I'm sorry. Of course it is. All right. And with that, members, thank you so much. We stand adjourned.